Very good morning to you. Now, we'll do something that's slightly different this morning. There are people here that are sitting behind and next to people they might not know. We have a number of visitors amongst us, and it's good to have you here. Would you like to extend a Christmas greeting to the person you might not have? Would you like to say Happy Christmas to someone? Thank you very much. It's good that we have one spirit as we celebrate together. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm sure you're all feeling very much more at home, and I hope we have that unity together as we celebrate this wonderful day together. Please feel very much at home in this church, all you visitors. For those of you who are visitors, our chief musician and worship leader, Mrs. Jenny Endersby, had a very serious stroke a couple of weeks ago, and I feel that as a church, we need to pray for her now. But I'd like to do it in this way. We're going to, for 1 minute, silently pray our own Christmas blessing over Jenny and family. So shall we bow our heads and just pray quietly for a minute? We do thank you, Father God, the God of Christmas grace, that you give us hope to expect, Lord, what the world could never hope for. And we believe in your goodness and your mercy, and we bring our sister Jenny to you now. Oh, Father, you've heard our prayers. You know our little wavering faith, but you know that, Lord, your sufficiency is in the power of the intercession of Christ. And, Lord, we bring Jenny to you, praying this will be a wonderful Christmas. And maybe may the family know this. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to preach a passage from the portion that was read, and it's verses 34 and 35. You all know the story and the context, don't you? How can this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, enable me in my frailty to proclaim the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, of course, I wish you all a very happy Christmas today, and I mean that. But I want to do more than that this morning. We're in the house of God. The house of worship this morning. And therefore, in the light of that, I want to wish you all a very happy Christian Christmas. You may say, what do I mean? The world has lost its understanding of what Christmas is. In our modern world, Christmas's significance is largely unknown. And to many people, Christmas is nothing more than the festive season, Christmas holidays, time for turkey and mulled wine and all that stuff. Christmas time and the Christian faith have no connection at all to the majority of people in our land. And for millions of people today, Christmas is not at all about the birth of the promised Messiah, the Jesus who is Christ. For most people, this is just a time of get-togethers, family time, presents, parties, and that's great, but for most people, that is all that Christmas is. And, you know, it's very sad, but I'm probably being a bit generous here. I would think, probably, under 10% of our nation today will be in the house of God, praising God for the birth of Christ. In this so-called Christian nation, under 10%, is that too big? Maybe under 5% of our nation will be praising God for Christmas in the Christian sense this morning. So I thought I would raise a question today. You know, there's a silent partner in the Christmas story that's not very often mentioned. And I'd like to mention him this morning. What is it that makes the vital difference between a Christmas worshipper and a Christmas celebrator? Get the difference? What is the difference, as I said last year, before somebody who celebrates Christmas and somebody who celebrates merely Xmas? Without any doubt, I can confidently tell you what the difference is. It is this: the spirit of Christmas. It is the spirit of Christmas. The one vital thing that separates a Christian believer from a Christmas celebrator is the spirit of Christmas. And if this morning you've got the spirit of Christmas, you will be celebrating Christmas today like a saint. But if this morning you do not have the spirit of Christmas in you, you will not realize the significance of this holy day in any possible way. You may have a lot of festive cheer, and that's good. You may have a lot of Christmas fun this year. You may have come to church to sing some nice Christmas carols, but with respect, if you haven't got the spirit of Christmas in you, you will not be remotely able to appreciate what this is all about. You see, the spirit of Christmas is the one single essential element to the true celebration of this day. So, do you have the spirit of Christmas this morning? If you do, you will be able to see things this day that the people out there in the broader community have no conception of. And you'll find yourself worshiping when most people are partying. Yes, it all depends this morning on whether you have or whether you have not got the spirit of Christmas. Okay, let's push this a bit further. You may say, okay, well, what do I mean by that? What is this spirit of Christmas? Is it to be in a certain Christmassy state of mind? To know certain facts and teachings? Is it to have certain Christmassy emotions, to get all tingly under the mistletoe and all that? Is that the Christmas spirit? Is it to read again for the 50th time the story of Scrooge? Is it to watch It's a Wonderful Life again? What do we mean by the spirit of Christmas? Well, now we come to our reading for today. And you've got to pay attention now, I promise you, especially if you're not used to coming to church, this is not going to be a long talk. If you promise to pay attention now, okay, get the main point now, and I will have done my job. In our text, we are told exactly what the spirit of Christmas is and what the spirit of Christmas does. Okay. In our text, Mary has come face to face with an angelic being, the angel Gabriel. And the angel tells her that she is going to conceive and give birth to a baby boy. But then Mary asks the question, how will this be, since I am a virgin? You see, Mary was fully aware that she couldn't possibly have a son unless somewhere along the line there was a man involved, and she was a virgin. So how, she asks, could this possibly happen? It's a fair question, isn't it? Then in verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." In other words, the angel is saying to Mary, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and his very touch is going to bring about a miraculous event. A conception is going to take place unknown before to humanity and never to be repeated. And this child will be born directly due to the touch of the Holy Spirit. Now, many of you here may be familiar with science. What's said here is something that science cannot possibly explain. And I've known some pretty shallow people thinking, well, that settles it. If science can't explain this, I'm not going to take it seriously. We're not able, let's be honest, to scientifically explain what is said here. But you need to get this. And if you know any intelligent philosophy, you'll know this is more intelligent than what people argue. What the angel's saying here does not mean that the angel's words are unscientific or, you know, irrational. What it means is this. What the angel says here is beyond the scope of scientific measurement. That takes you down a peg or two. Unless you think you know everything. It's beyond the scope of human reasoning, human understanding. We're reading here of a profound supernatural truth. But having said that, the words that we read here are not complicated to understand. We read, the angel says, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon Mary, and the touch of the Holy Spirit is going to somehow, in a way no one can possibly comprehend, bring about the conception of a little child in her womb. When you think about it, it was the Holy Spirit who made Christmas happen. It was the touch of the Holy Spirit that made that baby conceived in the womb of Mary. Jesus became a reality in Mary's body the moment the Spirit came upon her. I could put it this way. What was the essential thing that made the very first Christmas happen? The Bible tells us very clearly what it was. Jesus became real the moment the Spirit came upon Mary. That's what we read, isn't it? The generator of Christmas was the Holy Spirit. Now, just as the generating power of the Spirit brought about the first Christmas, you need to get this. That very same Spirit is essential here, now, for me and for you in order for Christmas to have a reality here. 2017. The human race received Christ by the power of the Spirit. And God receives human beings by the same, that same power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus put it this way when he was grown up in John chapter 3. He put it this way. Now maybe you'll get what Jesus means here if you know the passage. John 3. No man is able to even see the kingdom of God unless he is born of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul puts that conversely. He says, the man without the Spirit is not able to receive the things of God. In fact, he says, the man without the Spirit will find the things of God foolishness. They're inconceivable. It's the Spirit alone that raises human consciousness heavenward. In the same way as it was the Spirit that made divinity earthbound. And that is why I told you at the start of my message that there's one essential thing that everybody needs in order to know a true Christian Christmas. It's the experience of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who initiated the whole Christmas event with the conception of the baby is the same Spirit who must illuminate the hearts and minds of all those who believe. By the Spirit of Christmas, the baby Jesus was conceived in the virgin womb of Mary. The Spirit's touch brought heaven down to earth. And in the same way, the same Spirit of Christmas brings human beings in contact with divine reality. Creatures of the earth are lifted up to heaven by the same Spirit that brought heaven down to earth. The silent participator in the whole Christmas story, it's funny, you don't hear much about this, is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was the initiator of the Christ event and the initiator of our realization of this event too. Okay, so when all is said and done this morning, every one of you here today, whether you're a Christian or not, is able to discern for yourself whether this day for you is a Christian Christmas or just a nice festive Xmas. I've got nothing against Xmas, all the parties and family get-togethers and presents and crackers and, you know, all that stuff. It's good fun. But it's nothing compared to the Christ reality of Christmas. And only the Spirit makes the distinction. You've got to know the Spirit. Now, I pray with all my heart that this Christmas the Spirit of God will fall upon all of you, upon your families and on your homes. How will you know when it happens? Oh, you'll know when it hits you. I was not a Christian believer myself until I was 26 years old. And for the first part of my life, I knew and I cared nothing for religion, God, Jesus, church. It was not only unscientific and somehow ridiculous in my brainwashing, but it was absolutely irrelevant to my life. Oh, I loved Christmases. I loved the presents and the parties and the get-togethers and the family and all that stuff. But I cannot explain to you this morning, unless you're a Christian, the radical paradigm shift that took place in my life when the Spirit, the same Spirit that birthed Christ, the same Spirit touched my hard, cold heart. The best way I can describe it, sorry regulars, you've heard this before, but I'm a man of stories. How many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz? Well, come on, you must have all seen it. Remember, it starts in black and white. Dorothy sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and then there's a tornado, and the house is lifted up and taken to Oz, and it falls on the Wicked Witch of the East. You know the story? And it's black and white, and it looks like a typical 1930s movie. But this must have been amazing for the people in those days. There comes that scene where Dorothy opens the door of the house. And outside the house, it's hand-painted Technicolor. It was so magic when I was a child and I first saw that. The movie changes from black and white to the most beautiful Technicolor. Now, all I can say is this. The difference between Xmas and Christmas is the difference between a black and white movie and a Technicolor movie. There are some of you here today who look at this day and you're looking at it in Technicolor. You're seeing the wonder. You're seeing the same things everybody else sees, but you're seeing it in a way that others cannot envisage. And there are some of you that may wonder what on earth I'm talking about. Everything's black and white, and every fool knows that. All I can pray this morning is at this Christmas time, the greatest gift you could ever be given is the Spirit of Christmas. And I pray that you will receive God's Spirit of revelation, the same Spirit that birthed Jesus into the world. I pray he will give you the spiritual birth that brings you to glory. May you know the Spirit of Christmas even this year. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, I know that I've just spoken words unless your Spirit has taken them home. You tell us, Lord, that the world will consider the preaching of Christianity foolishness unless the Spirit gives understanding. Communicate yourself, Lord God, by the power of your Spirit this morning, and may the wonder of Christmas be a Christian thing, not merely festive. We just pray, Lord, for everybody here. May the joy, the Christian joy of Christmas, be a living experience in 2017. Amen. We're going to sing another carol before we close. We wish you as a church a wonderful Christmas. Please have a wonderful time when you go home. You're all having big dinners, aren't you?